Right, and it's about equipping you as leaders. So we're going through different topics every week. This week was prayer, and Mike and Allison asked me to do the half an hour because she couldn't get hold of Monty. and then it turned out to an hour. It's cool. And then I got a messenger from Mike saying he's not going to be here Sunday morning. Can you sort it out? So I thought, well, I'll just continue from this morning. I'll just... So some of you guys have heard this already. Some of you guys haven't. But anyway, it's about prayer. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, thank you, Father God, for... the power of prayer. And Lord, the weapon of prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's based on a relationship with you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not a man that you would lie. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you that when we pray, we stand on your word, knowing and believing that you will answer our prayers. Lord, we thank you for the babies that were born this morning. Thank you for life. Lord, thank you for the sanctity of life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, beautiful children, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that they are a blessing. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, I don't know if we've got any spare ones. Have you got any spare Bibles? No? Then sit next to someone who's got a Bible. Get to know your neighbor. Right, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. We're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer, eh? If you were a kid, you might have prayed the Lord's Prayer, or you might have been brought up in a household that prayed the Lord's Prayer. Let's start at verse 8, actually. Therefore, do not be like them. He's talking about the Pharisees. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him in the manners... Sorry, I'll start again. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. You know, you might say to yourself, well, what's the point in praying if the Lord knows what our need is, right? The Word of God says you have not because you ask not, all right? So how can you have it if you're not asking for it? All right? The whole point is praying to God. That's why Jesus said, in this manner, pray. Right? And let's carry on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. One thing I want to say is this, and I mentioned in my prayer, that prayer is built on a relationship with God. And what I mean by that is because we have a relationship with God the Father, we can boldly into prayer with him because we have that relationship as a father, as a child. That word father in the Greek means patera. And what that word means is a relationship, okay? A relationship with Almighty God. It's not daddy at a distance. It's not daddy up there in the sky, you know? It's not daddy next door. It's daddy right here with us now. That relationship, patera. When I was growing up as a little kid, I used to call my father Baba, which is another Greek word for father, Baba. But that was because of my relationship with my father. So prayer is based on our relationship with God, all right? It's also based on how we see ourselves in the eyes of God, right? So we might, someone who sees themselves as just less than what God sees them, then I think that their prayer is a whole lot different to someone who sees God as their father. and in that relationship. You know, the other thing about prayer is it's for our benefit, right? God doesn't need to pray, but we do. So prayer is for our benefit. And the answering of prayer is for our benefit. Not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. Like, we all have family members who are not with Christ at the moment, or who were with Christ and chose to walk away, the prodigal son. That's in Luke 15. It's an awesome story about the love of God and the heart of the Father of God towards the prodigal son. It's a powerful story. Actually, when you read it, when you read about the older son, he was religious, right? Because he came back and he heard all this rejoicing, and the father put on a big party for the son that had gone away, and they were rejoicing that he was back. And instead of his brother rejoicing, he said, "What's all this noise? You didn't even give me a goat to kill and make merry with my friends." You know, he was religious. He wanted to put a damper on everything. You know, the religious spirit puts a damper on the power of God, right? So we don't, so this, I've heard this prayer prayed over and over again, but in a religious way. If we approach a prayer in a way of relationship with God, we approach that prayer so differently in every other prayer that we pray. So he's our Father that talks about relationship, personal, whether in blessing, in correction, or in rebuke, all right? God corrects his children and chastises his children because he loves us. He doesn't, I won't say it, it's that word that starts with B, fatherless. We're not fatherless, eh? So we've got to make sure that we don't act like we're fatherless. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed means to make holy, to purify, and to consecrate. Okay? So what I got from that was, when we reflect God in our own lives, we need to be reflecting the holiness of God. And we're meant to be consecrated before him. In other words, set aside for him and his purposes. Right? In our minds, in our will and our emotions. Right? Because we know that the battle is in our minds, right? The devil will come and attack us in our minds saying, "You're useless, you're worthless. What do you think you're doing?" And stuff like that. So we need to get our mind correct before God. Verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, this is a good prayer, and I encourage you to pray this. "Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in my wife's life, in the life of my children." You know, make it personal. Mike was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, about when we're praying for our kids. You know, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in our children as it is in heaven." Right? So make it a personal prayer. You know, for yourself. "Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life today as it is in heaven." Make it personal. "Give us this day our daily bread," which means, talks about sustenance, right? Giving us our sustenance. "Lord, give us today what we need to get through the day. Forgive us our debts," you know, in some versions say sins or transgressions, "as we forget our debtors, those who have offended and hurt us," right? It's important to forgive others, because there's a saying, bitterness is a pill you swallow thinking someone else will die. If you don't forgive that person, then bitterness creeps in. And then before you know it, you're the one that's missing out. They're having a great time. You're the one that's missing out. Verse 12, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That's talking about protection. Verse 13, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." That's pretty self-explanatory, eh? You know, we have to be specific in our prayers. You know, it's good to quote scripture when we're praying, all right? And be led by the Holy Spirit when we're praying privately or for others. The power of quoting scripture in our prayer is we're going back to the Word of God, and we're going back to the truth of His Word by praying prayers, by praying His Word. Give you an example, you know, like if someone's sick, you know, the most common one is, "But your word says, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, he or she is healed." that's going back to the word and going back to the promises of his word. Another one is when David talks about being fearfully and wonderfully made in his mother's womb. You knitted me together in my mother's womb, right? That's one of my favorite scriptures to pray when I'm praying for health. Because if he fearfully and wonderfully made us in his mother's womb and he knitted us together, every part that he placed in our body has a purpose, right? Every single part in our body has a purpose. It has a function, right? So if that function is out, or that purpose, if that function, if that part of the body is not working properly, we can pray, Lord, you know, restore that body to the way that you created in their mother's womb. Right? We can stand on the word of God. Amen? Amen. Right. So I want to give you a couple of examples that I, that the Lord showed me. Back in 2013, actually before that, in 2011, I had to shut up my my building business because there wasn't enough work. And I went back to my old boss, Terry Henwood, who graciously took me back. But, you know, for a few years after that, you know, the temptation was to go to Auckland or go to Christchurch where there was a lot of work, go to Auckland where there was a lot of work, you know, said to the wife, let's just pack up our stuff and just go with the workers, you know, not acting in faith, not believing. But the scripture the Lord gave me was Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. So every time we thought about going to Auckland or going to Christchurch where the work would be, and that temptation, we always stood on this word. And we said, Lord, you're righteous, do not beg for bread. Lord, you provide our very need. You give us what we need, Lord. And I tell you what, he was faithful. Every single time, he was faithful. Because we stood on his word. We acted in faith. We prayed in faith, believing that God would come through for us. That's the power of his word. That's the power of praying his word. Another couple of examples. Back in 2013, I had a minor heart attack. And when I was lying in my bed at the hospital, the Lord gave me two scriptures. Psalms 41, verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. That's a promise. And Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I stood on those promises. I stood on those promises. And I know that even Sid, in his, when it happened to him, he was searching the scriptures and was it Psalm 23 or one of the Psalms really encouraged him, to pull free. You know, so that the awesome thing about scripture is it's the truth, right? It's the truth and we can believe it. And it comes from God, who's not a man that he would lie, all right? He doesn't change his mind. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right? Other scriptures to quote in the time of bad health or when you have received bad news regarding your health is Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, which is what we touched on before. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We are healed by his stripes. Now, the word of God is filled with promises, and those promises are fulfilled in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:19-20. Again, for all the promises of God, in him are yes, and in him amen. To the glory of God through us, when you are praying the word of God, you're praying his will. I mean, it's that basic. When you're praying the will of God, the word of God, you're praying his will. It's that. I can't make it any more simple. You're praying his will. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he would lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Well, he will. The answer to that question is yes. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, because it's not in his character to lie, We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And it goes on to say that this hope, right, secures us like an anchor beyond the veil being when we step from this world into the next world, right? So we have a hope that is anchored beyond what we see, right? And that gives us hope, and that stirs us up in faith. You know, I got into the habit of praying for our children every night and morning. It started when they were in the womb, right? I remember when Roy was carrying David in the womb, and this is the time before cell phones, right? Way back in the dark ages, where, you know, you ring your mate and you were hoping they were home because there was no other way you could get hold of them, right? No laptops, no computers, no fancy stuff, right? And I would ring her at work. She was working at Allerman and Extrusion Company somewhere. Can't remember where it was. Mount Wellington. And she was carrying David. And after I talked to her, I said, I want to talk to my baby. So I used to get her to put the headset on her belly. And I would talk to my child in the womb. And I would pray for them in the womb. Because I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit said, just do that, you know. And I encourage you as parents, you know, whether you're carrying or not carrying, your kids, lay hands on your kids and pray for them every night. Ask the Holy Spirit to pray the will of God over their lives. You know, ask the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you. Pray for them. Pray for them. Impart into them. Encourage them. Pray. I pray, Lord, I pray for the mind of Christ in my son Jacob. Lord, I pray for your protection. And Lord, I pray that he would know you intimately and deeply. I pray, Lord, that he would understand your word and have the revelation of your word. Lord, and when I get frustrated, I say, Lord, please get him into a corner and so he can meet you face to face, right? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Husbands, you know, lay your hands on your kids and pray for them. If they're not home, pray for them anyway. We have two sons in Christchurch, David and Samuel, right? When we always talk to them. Every day we talk to them, and we talk to them maybe two or three times. At night when we're saying goodbye, we always pray for them. Always pray for them, right? When I walk into our son Jacob's room and he's lying in his bed asleep because he does night shift, I lay my hands on his head and I pray for him. And if he wakes up, well, he wakes up. But I pray for him. I pray for him. I cover them in prayer. Right? It's important. I know Monty prays for his grandchildren and his children. I know that others pray for your children. Keep it going. You know, sometimes we don't see the fruits and we might not necessarily see what we're praying for straight away, but keep praying in faith. Keep praying in faith. It's like a battering ram, you know? In the old days when they wanted to enter castle, they didn't just run up and go, bang, oh, that didn't work, let's go try something else. No, they just persisted. They persisted. They bang, 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 until they opened and they entered in. The walls of Jericho. They walked around them for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they walked around seven times, and they shouted, right? And it came down. They were persistent. They were persistent. Can I tell you this? If you've got some grandmother praying for you for your salvation, you might as well give up, because it's going to happen. I'm telling you now, that's what happened to me. That's what brought me to the Lord. There was an old lady behind our house, Mrs. Pierce, and she was praying for us, it came to pass, my salvation, because I knew she was praying for me. Yeah. You know, with David, I'm sure you won't mind me telling this, but a little while back he was dealing with a spirit of suicide, and it wasn't nice, but the Lord brought him through that, through prayer and through just getting on our knees and crying out before God and through the prayers of others. And if you see him now, he's like a different man. He's a completely different man now. So that was prayer. You know, praying for his protection, binding up the spirit of death, You know, it was awesome. And now look at him. He's such an encouragement. Look, all our children are an encouragement. All of them. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6. If we can turn them. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6. You have Chronicles. Then you have Ezra. Then you have Nehemiah. Most of you guys know the story about Nehemiah? Nehemiah was a man that went back and repaired. He was a builder, yeah. Well, he was a builder and, yeah, he was. This is really encouraging, eh? Nehemiah is really encouraging because he had to face a lot, you know. He had to face threats. He had to actually correct some people. He had to get things into order. Actually, it's a bit like what Mike's doing here, eh, when you think about it. He's repairing the worship. He's bringing in correction and order. I didn't think about that before. Anyway, Mike, can you hear me? Right, verse 5. I'll start at verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying, which is good, before the Lord, before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you. See, he's standing on the word of God. He knows the word of God, but he knows the character of God. More importantly, he knows the character of God. So he's standing on the word and the character of God. You keep your love and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you. He's making supplication. He's making supplication and prayer. Supplication basically means asking for the help of someone in authority. Well, we know who that person is. It's God. So he's making supplication. Hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and can confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. He was standing in the gap. He was standing in the gap for his children, for the children of Israel. You know, oftentimes, the Holy Spirit has said the same thing to me. And I've got on my knees as a father, as a husband, and I've cried out to God, and I've stood in the gap and said, Lord, forgive the sins of my household. Lord, forgive my sins. Forgive the sins of my children. Forgive the sins of my wife. Forgive us our sins, Lord, that we would not be a reproach to you, that you would not pass us over, Lord. You know? I believe I have that authority as a husband, as a father. And every husband and father in this place has that authority to stand in the gap for their children. The sad thing about it, me and Doug were talking about Ezekiel the other day. And the Lord said, I sought a man to stand in the gap. And he couldn't find anyone to stand in the gap. Sad. We shouldn't be like that. But we have that right. We can come before God and stand in the gap for our kids. You know, I was compelled by the Holy Spirit. I remember a few years ago, there's a young man in this church, and he wasn't walking with God at that time. And I remember I was driving through Mōrawa, and the Lord said, pray for him. And I prayed for him, and I started weeping, and I started crying, you know, and calling out to God for this young man's salvation. You know, and not long after that, we saw him restored back into the house of God. Awesome, eh? Awesome. You know, so sometimes we come to that point, you know, there's prayer, Lord, bless us. Lord, protect our children. Lord, that they will walk with you all the rest of the days of their life. And there's this intensity of crying out and weeping to God and coming before him and crying out to God for those ones that we love and being led by the Holy Spirit in prayer and just pleading, God, please, please, please bring them back, Lord. Protect them. You know, the weeping and the crying out of God. you know, and like Nehemiah cried out for the people of God, asking God to forgive them. We can do that. We can do that. We have a right to do that as the children of God. Weep and cry out for our God. Sometimes we have to get that desperate. You know, sometimes we're not desperate enough. But being led by the Holy Spirit, I know that every single person in this room has someone that they love dearly who is not walking with God at this moment. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep persisting. Keep breaking through. Right? Keep at it. Just keep at it. Because you'll see those prayers come to pass. We also prayed over the years, like, Lord, expose things. Expose things. Let them come to the light. Not to shame anyone, but so they'd be dealt with, you know? Those that are in sin, let them be exposed, Lord, that we can deal with these things, you know? The Holy Spirit will lead you sometimes, you know, you look at your child or you look at someone and you get a word of knowledge or you get a word and you go and approach that person and sure enough, what the Lord has told you is bang on, you know? And sometimes it might be a hidden sin that you deal with, or it could be a word of encouragement or a word of knowledge. Keep at it. Keep at it. In verse 34 of Romans 10, sorry, my pages are mixed up. We'll go into sessions. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this: Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. So here's Paul writing to Timothy, encouraging him to make supplication and prayers and intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men. You know, there's going to be times, and there's times now where we intercede for people in need. Again, we intercede for people who we know are not walking with the Lord, and we cry out for them. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what? Sometimes our own English language fails us in our prayers, right? Because we don't know what to say, in the sense that we're praying and words can't really justify what's going on in our spirit. And then the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us, but the groanings, right, which cannot be uttered. So deep down in our spirit, man, there's that groaning, there's that intensity in prayer, and we don't know how to say it, but the Spirit, man, takes over. The Spirit takes over, and he makes intercession for us, right? And so he searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, right? So he's making intercession for us according to the will of God. He's making intercession for those who are praying according to the will of God. So the Spirit takes over. It's encouraging, eh? I think that's encouraging scripture. You know, because there is times like that where you don't know what to say. You know, and then the Spirit takes over. Boom. Verse 34 of chapter 8, sorry. Who was he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Awesome, eh? So here's this King of Glory in all his glory sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for who? For us. For us, right? Hebrews 7, 24 to 25. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. John 17, 6 to 26. I encourage you to read that when you get home. It's Jesus praying for his disciples, and then he goes on to pray for the believers. It's a powerful prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's talking about Lord keeping them, protecting them, looking after them, you know, saying, I don't pray that you take them from this earth. I pray that they stay, but look after them, Lord. Look after them. He's interceding for his bros. He's interceding for his disciples and his believers. That's what he's doing with us. He's interceding for us. He's interceding for us there, seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, look after them. Take care of them. You know, we have to be specific in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul was specific. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Again, specific. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. I think that that would be a good prayer for us when we head over to Myanmar, eh, Monty? That the Lord will open the doors for the word to be preached. Amen. So if you when you're praying for us, pray Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, please. That'll be good. Well, what I want to do now is I want to do some practical stuff. You know, we talked about intercession and supplication. I'd like us to get into groups of twos or threes, fours maybe. And if you have a family member or someone that you've been praying for to come to Christ, pray for that person. Make intercession. Make intercession. You know, we can talk about praying and praying for this one and praying for that, but I really want us to get together in twos or threes or fours and really hit those things in prayer. I encourage husband and wives, maybe pray together. I saw Brian and Michelle praying together before, which was awesome. And maybe the rest of us gets into groups of threes and fours and pray. Cool. I think it'd be good, eh? And then we'll come back to the word. Awesome. Not that I want to stop you short. Some good prayers going up. Amen. We can be confident that God hears our prayer and answers our prayer. We can be confident of that. Supplication, which is something I was talking about before, means entreat, asking someone in power for help, and that person is God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. This scripture is at the end of the passage where it talks about the armor of God, okay? So in Ephesians 6, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, praying always with all supplication in the Spirit. That is part of our armor. It's not separate to the armor. It's actually part of the armor of God that has given to us, praying in the Spirit. One thing I noticed, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but when we gather here on a Tuesday night for prayer, when we're doing warfare, when we're speaking in tongues, you know, you have tongues that we talk normally, but then when we enter into warfare, it's like the tongues get more aggressive, eh? They get more intense because we're stepping into warfare and we're warring for certain people or warring against certain things. And you can hear it, you can sense it, but you can hear it. It's like this indignation rises up in you and it becomes more and more intense in our prayer, praying in the Spirit. You know, always, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's important. If you don't, I encourage you, if you're not speaking in tongues, you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of speaking in tongues yet, I encourage you to do that, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. Warfare. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and a lot of us know this scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Remember how before I was talking about prayers for us? Well, this is a good example. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Right? Be anxious for nothing. Bring it to God in prayer. Bring it to God in prayer that you might have peace and that your heart and your mind be in Christ Jesus, fixed on Him and not fixed on the problem. Right? That's the whole point of the scripture, fixing our heart and our mind on Him. Purposely praying for the situation. Not be anxious. I know it's hard not to be anxious sometimes. I know, I've been there. It's really hard sometimes. It's really hard. I'm just being honest, because the flesh kicks in. And then they'll go, oh, what about this? What about that? Oh, and then before you know it, you're under it. Be anxious for nothing. It's like a commandment, eh? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. Amen. Accusation, another one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you will prosper. How many weapons? No weapons, none. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Who you? Who are you? It's us, say. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. It's in time of accusation, you know. You will judge those words. That's your right as a servant of God. One of the most simplest prayers I've ever prayed over the years, and Monty knows this one, is Lord, help. Lord, help. What do I do? Lord, help. When you have no clue sometimes, Lord, help. Please help. Lord, help. Yeah. I'm just going to ask Sister Gail to come up and share as well. And just in closing. Was that good? Did you get stuff out of that? Yeah. I mean, some of that stuff we know already, but it's good to be reminded, encouraged to keep pressing on, to keep going through it.